Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome again to Evangelize for Life with your host, Stephen Glover. So glad you took the time out today to join me again. And we've got a dynamic program for you again. Today, with so much things going on in our news today, dealing with people attacking one another, people killing one another, people warring and fighting and even eating one another, I thought it was appropriate or would be appropriate today to deal with the topic of demon possession because of the fact that behind all of this insanity is directly related to Satan and his desire to destroy and to control God's creation, his greatest creation, which was mankind created in his image. So before we get to this topic, it's important that we open up in a word of prayer. Father, again, we bless you and praise you and worship you and glorify you and thank you for who you are. Father, I pray that right now as we begin to study your word, that, Lord, the truth that are in it, we would not only hear, but we would apply it to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your eternal word, your infallible word, your inherent word, Lord, that teaches us about your Son, Jesus Christ. And for those that are in Christ, the power that we have, not only over this world, but all the dominions and principalities and powers that dwell within it. Thank you for delivering us from our darkness and our deception and bringing us into your marvelous light and to the truth that sets men free. So pray, Father, that you join and be with me today. Give those who are hearing ears to hear, to not only hear, but to obey what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and the Spirit and the Bride, they come. Those who are hearing who don't know Christ, pray that they may come to know your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mentioned briefly about struggles we're having in our world today, and it's not by accident, because the Bible tells us that before the coming of Christ, there will be an increase in demonic activity. There will be deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. There will be people who will be controlled and led by demons because the Bible tells us in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, that there was a fall. And when Satan was cast out, even though he does still have access to heaven where he accuses the brethren, when he was cast out and when demons, one-third of the demons sided with Satan were thrown out, they were cast to the earth. And the Bible tells us that he is the prince of the air, that this is his world according to 1 John. So where do the demons go? They're just not in the Bible, but they still exist and they still are operating within the world. Well, we know that Satan is not omnipresent. There's only one of him. But there is a hierarchy. The Bible tells us about principality, and that is referring to the hierarchy that's found even within the demonic realm. But the controller of that demonic realm is Satan himself. And the Bible describes Satan and his activities, and the Bible describes the activities of Satan not only in men, not only in women, not only in children, but also there is activity, or they are able to possess animals. So I wanted to focus more on how to witness to somebody who is demonically possessed, because the majority of people who knowingly or unknowingly, I know in my case, before I was born again, I was unknowingly or unknown to myself, to me, that I was controlled to a certain extent by Satan. And I wasn't a bad guy, but the things that my actions reflected that I was not operating according to the will of God. And so you're either controlled by your flesh or your demons, or demons, or you're controlled by the spirit, according to Romans chapter 8. So I wanted to talk about a couple of things. First, looking at scripture, and let's highlight the fact that demons do possess individuals. They still exist today. I don't know if we'll have time to get to how to witness to someone who is demon-possessed. I'll try to cover that maybe tomorrow, but I just wanted to lay a foundation in looking at scripture and looking at the activities of demons, so that we, when we encounter people, we're sharing the gospel with them. You have to understand what you're battling against. Again, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It says that we are to take every thought captive, because faith's battlefield, a lot of it is in our minds, and we're going to see that here with the example in Mark chapter 5, where we see that as Jesus was entering into a country where the Gerasenes there comes a demonic man out of the tomb. Immediately as he exits the boat, here comes a demonic man, unclean spirit was controlling him, and this individual was living in the tomb. So here is an example of a man under the control of demons. So in verse 2 of Mark chapter 5, it says, "And when he had come out of the boat," meaning Jesus, "immediately a man from the tomb with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain." So here's a man under control by demons, living in a graveyard, or at this time where the rocks, the tombs were cut out of the mountains, or in areas like that, they were cut out. And so he was living where dead people were buried. And he was controlled by an unclean spirit, and he approaches Jesus. No one was able to bind him. They would use chains or ropes. So he has supernatural strength. And what we hear about some of the individuals who are able to resist, and they do things that are supernatural, that's because there is a certain amount of demonic control that gives individuals power. And we know that, and we're going to look at this very shortly, that people who desire power, and Satan will give it to them. He has no problem with giving it to them. We see in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus, God himself, God incarnate, Satan came to him and tempted him with what? Power. He offered to give Jesus power. Power in this world, wealth in this world, fame in this world, and that is how, and that is a lure that Satan uses to control people, to get control of people. Their quest for power and his willingness to give it to him, because remember, Adam surrendered the power and the dominion to Satan in the garden. So he does have a certain amount of authority. So here's an example of a man who was able to break these chains and pieces. They were unable to control him, and which is what we see today. We see uncontrollable people, and sometimes we want to associate it or attribute it to them being psychotic or them being on drugs or alcohol, but that is man's explanation for what's going on in our world, void of what the Bible teaches. So in verse 5, it says, "Constantly, night and day, among the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and dashing himself with stones." So self-afflicted wounds. And the uncontrollable behavior continues. We see how the Satan and demons want to destroy people. Often, people think that they can control him. We see in Harry Potter and we see in Twilight that these individuals have these powers, and they're able to conjure spells on individuals. But that's a myth, because Satan doesn't want you to control him. He wants to control you. So temporarily, they may think that you have control, but you do not. You do not. So after seeing Jesus, it says that he ran up and bowed down before him and cried out with a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you, by God, do not torment me." What do we see here? Jesus, number one, he recognized that he was deity. He recognized that he was God. He recognized that he was in submission and to be in subjection to Jesus. And he knew these demons within him, because we haven't gotten to the part where he identifies himself as legion, meaning there were at least 6,000 demons within us. It says that he says, is it the time? What did he mean by that? Is it the time for torment? Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that the demons will cast into the lake of fire. They will spend eternity in judgment. So this demon sees Jesus show up, and he thinks it's judgment time. He thinks it's time for him to be cast into the lake of fire and judged. So, what does he say? The Most High God, I implore you, do not torment me. So he knows that judgment day is coming. He knows that torment is coming. Satan knows that torment and judgment is coming. And the Bible tells us that men will wax worse and worse. They will be deceived and continue to be deceived. So he knows even now that his time is short. And this is the reason why we see the increase of flesh-eating individuals. We see the increase of drug use. We see the increase of sorcery. We see the increase of witchcraft. We see the increase of drinking of blood. We see the increase of murder, death, killing. The abortion is included in that. That is demonically influenced. Because when we think about it, Satan influenced parents to what? Kill children. He wanted to eliminate Jesus Christ when he was born. But in order to do that, he, for the most part, began to amass euthanasia, or he began to kill any of the children 2 years and below. And so, we see here in verse 8, and he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." In verse 9, Jesus said, and asked him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Multitudes, at least 6,000. And what did Jesus do? Well, it so happens that these demons were in an area where there were swine, and the swine were, he cast the demons into the swine, and then the swine rushed down the sea bank into the sea, and it says that 2,000 of them were drowned. So here we see at least 2,000 demons were in these herds of swine. So we see also that they're able to enter into human beings. They're able to enter into swine. And in verse 15 of the same chapter, it says, and they came to Jesus. These are the individuals who either owned the animals or the people who were standing there. And they observed the man who Jesus had just cast the demons out, and he was sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. It says, and they became frightened. Why did they become frightened? They saw our God. They saw the dominion of God. They saw the control of God. They saw that you could be set free from Jesus, by Jesus casting out demons, by Jesus setting you free. And the Bible says, when the Son sets free, he's free indeed. This man was out of his mind, cutting himself, harming himself. Now we see him sitting down in his right mind set free from the bondage of demonic possession and demonic sin. Well, what else do we see? If you continue on in back in Mark, chapter 7 of Mark, here's an example of a woman coming to Jesus and asking Jesus to cast the demons out of her daughter. But the daughter had a demon, and Jesus says to the woman that the demon has gone out of her daughter. And as she headed back to her home in verse 30, she found the child lying on the bed, and the demon had departed from her. If you continue on, and there are a lot of examples here in the book of Mark of demon possession, but if you continue on, here is another example of a man coming to Jesus, and his son had been controlled by demons. This is in Mark chapter 9. And it says that, and he asked his father, who long had been happening to him, he said, from childhood. So apparently, this spirit threw this son into convulsion and causing him to fall to the ground and foam at the mouth. And Jesus asked him, how long has this been happening to him? He knew. But he asked him from the childhood, and there were people that were standing there who could hear that this wasn't something that just happened suddenly. It had been going on since the young man was a child. So the father's response was that he often throws him into the fire, into water to destroy him. And guys, listen. Be not deceived. Don't be fooled in thinking that you can control demons and that you can control and manipulate and conjure up demons, because clearly they want to destroy. The Bible says that Jesus came to give life and give life abundantly, but Satan has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And this is exactly what he is doing, and he wants to do to you if you do not know Christ. If he wants to do to your family, if they do not know Christ, don't be deceived. But we see here, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help them. The only one that can help you is Jesus Christ. And the father understood this. He said, if you can, all things are possible with him who believes. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, admit that you're, submit your sin, you're fornicating, you're lying, you're drunkenness, your witchcraft, your participation in the dark art, you can be forgiven and be set free. And when Jesus saw a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, and it said that the deaf and the dumb spirit, he said, I command you to come out of him. And he came out, and the boy again was set free. It says that Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. This is in Mark chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. So here's an example of, gave you an example of a young girl, gave you an example of a young boy, gave you an example of a man that was demonically possessed. And if you go to Luke chapter 13, here's an example of a woman for 18 years had a sickness, and the Bible describes it as caused by a spirit. A demonic spirit caused her to be bent over, to be doubled over, so that she could not straighten up at all. And at times, demons afflict people to the point where there's physical suffering. And what we see in Luke chapter 13, verse 12, Jesus saw her, called her over, and said, woman, you are free from your sickness. So a woman, we saw pigs, we saw a young boy, we saw a young girl, and now we see, we saw a man. And now here it is, a woman afflicted by demons. Now, this is the thing. You guys must understand that there are some people who are knowingly and unknowingly possessed by demons. And what do I mean by knowingly? I mean, these are some people who believe. And I'm going to come out of a book named called The Adversary, The Christian versus Demonic Activity, written by Mark Dubeck. And this is what he talks about, willing possession. This kind of problem is a growing and very deadly, dangerous situation. More and more people in our day are becoming actively interested in the occult world. They desire to be taken over by spirit powers that might conduct seances, or they may conduct seances, pronounce curses, become a witch, or secure some other supernatural condition. Many of these who engage in this kind of human tragedy are fully aware that they are being controlled and possessed by demonic and satanic spirits or powers. They desire a supernatural experience from Satan, thinking, and this is what I said earlier, thinking that it will bring them power, position, or some other thing they dream or deem good in their scale of value. Now, remember I mentioned Harry Potter. I mentioned all these movies that emphasize and that teach young children or people how to become witches and warlocks. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Bible told, God told Israel that when they entered into the land, he forbade them to participate in any kind of sorcery, necromancy, anything that was contrary to them being controlled by him. Even when you look in the New Testament, we are to be not drunk with wine, but we are to be controlled. We are to be filled. We are to be led by the Spirit of God. He later goes on and says, some even desire those so-called good spirits who will enable them to do white magic or beneficial supernatural deeds for mankind. Again, this is a deception. There's no such thing as white magic. There's no such thing as dark magic. You know, these are just superficial names. And understand that Satan wants you to think that there's good and bad witches. No. The Bible is very clear that evil is evil. He says it all comes from the same deceiver. However, whether it is white or black magic, and its result is in bondage to Satan. So Satan wants to enslave you. He wants to control you, and he will give you a little bit of power. He will give you some control to a certain extent. Now, those are for individuals today who are participating in witchcraft, participating in fighting Satan to control them. Now, understand this, guys. We see that our age we're living in right now, we're moving towards a one-world government, economy, and also monetary system. But who is going to control that? According to Scripture, fear is going to be. He's going to be empowered by Satan. And so he's got to enter into a world that is already prepared to receive someone who rejects Christ, the Antichrist, one who is against Christ. And so the world has to be prepped for that, and this is what we're seeing today, that the world is moving away from, and has already moved away from, what the Bible teaches, and is accepting the course of miracles. It's accepting these demonic movies, and these activities are becoming mainstream, and these things that are contrary to God's word is becoming law. For example, homosexuality is another spirit that controls men to lust for men and women to lust for women. So these individuals, there are some out there who want to be controlled, want the power, not understanding that they will spend an eternity in hell because of the fact that that is the destination for anyone. Witchcraft, sorcery, says in Revelation chapter 22 that they will be outside. The dog, the Bible mentions, will be outside. Let me turn to that verse real quick so that I will quote it correctly. He says, outside of the dog, and the sorcerers and the immoral persons, and the murderers and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. So what is he talking about? That one day Jesus is coming. He's going to judge the wrong. He's going to judge the filthy. And he says, my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. We will not have time to get to everything I wanted to talk about today, but let's continue on with unwilling possession. He says, it is obvious from life as well as from Scripture that many people become unwillingly possessed. Some are little children, and we saw that there in Mark, as evidence in Mark 9:21, when the demon enters the child whom the father brought to Jesus. Many others suffer terribly from this cruel, wicked powers of Satan. How does this unwilling control come about? None of us can know all the answers to such a searching question, but here are some possibilities. Now, here are some possibilities. If you're listening today, that you will open yourself up to demonic activity. He says one way is when a person gives ground to Satan by willful, even though ignorant, dabbling into various areas of sin. Now, what are these areas? Now, I mentioned Deuteronomy 28, where Jesus or the Lord tells Israel that do not, when you enter into the land, do not practice the habits of those, and do not emulate the detestable things of those nations. So he says, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes son or daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out from before you. That means God will judge them, judge those who participate in it. So what is he saying here? He says one way is when a person gives ground to Satan, any occult investigation seems particularly dangerous. Perhaps this is why the Old Testament, he says, the Lord prescribed death to any of his people who became involved in sorcery and witchcraft. And that's what I just read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. And he says, please note these words to stay clear of any involvement into anything having to do with the occult. Now, this could include the Ouija board. It includes Dungeons and Dragons, because the old Ouija board, party seances, levitation, tarot cards, fortune tellers, e-dream readers, I mean, Dionne Warwick and all these 1-800 numbers or 888 numbers, whatever, and the like are not just places to be dabbled in or amused in. They belong to Satan's realm and should be avoided. And also, he mentioned Satan operates not only in the occult, but through drug usage, drunkenness, sexual lasciviousness, and lying are other sins of human depravity which may open one's life to unusual satanic takeover. So, here are examples of both unknowingly and knowingly individuals who enter into Satan's realm or dominion or domain and controlled by Satan himself. Well, thank you for joining us. Let me just encourage you that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you want to be set free from this demonic activity that we see in our world, and we'll cover it again tomorrow, trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of sorcery, witchcraft, drug use, lasciviousness, fornication. Repent of that. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and cry out to Jesus to set you free, to save you. And he will, if you're willing, turn away, repent, change your mind, change your attitude about the things that you once participated in, and believe in the Lord Jesus. That's the burial that Jesus Christ is God, as we saw in Mark chapter 5. Acknowledge him and cry out to him to deliver you as you see that demonic man was after his encounter with Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, if you come to know Jesus Christ, you will never, ever be a person and believer. May God bless you. keep you and may you allow his face to shine upon you. During the possible fortune to keep by blessings. Join us again tomorrow for the second part of this.
Never heard of Jesus.